So instead of just ensuring that an agency has in fact met all of the requirements or standards that are put forth in FSMA standards and the OMB guidance on an annual basis, it really highlights an organization's vulnerabilities, what can be done to mitigate the risk, and also is intended to attract investment, meaning of time and money, so those vulnerabilities can be addressed and minimized so that the improvement of cybersecurity and data protection can be better over time.
And you talk in the report about how this mitigation framework sort of can't be a one-size-fits-all thing. It has to be tailorable to a certain agency. Flesh that out a little bit for me. Why is the risk environment not the same for everyone?
Yeah. So over the last decade, there has been kind of two categories of cyber risk, one for national security agencies and one for civilian or non-national security agencies. One thing that my co-authors and I propose is that bifurcation no longer exists, that in fact all federal government agencies maintain sensitive data of some sort. With that understanding, we also agree that there are more sensitive information or data than others. VA, for example, maintains millions of records of healthcare information for veterans and their dependents who are eligible for healthcare. Social Security Administration obviously manages 350 million data bits in terms of Social Security numbers. That is different than what NSA and CIA look for in terms of their intel and on a very sensitive basis. So the baseline for each agency should reflect the nature of the sensitive information that agency is responsible for, recognizing that that's not the same across all government organizations, and that depends on the mission and the programs that they're required to oversee.
And you also talk about, in order to implement a risk mitigation framework, there are certain things that have to happen ahead of time in an agency. What are the prerequisites that you talk about in the report?
So one of the kind of what we call the price of admission is that the policies and the governance structures need to be in place. Often what occurs within the evaluation approach that's been in place for 10 years is that the IG will evaluate an agency against those FSMA standards, and they will note that certain policies and procedures aren't in place, and that will become the bulk of the report. We would like to basically take that variable off the table, and instead, in order for an evaluation to occur, all policies and procedures need to be followed. The governance structures need to be in place. Once that is agreed to and in place, then the technical evaluation can occur. And so really it's getting to the meaningful activities of what can improve cybersecurity and data protection, rather than thinking about setting up a new board, issuing a new policy or procedure in paperwork in order to meet that checklist.
And I think you also talk about a continuous role for the IG themselves too, right? Which is kind of, that's not how we think of IGs. We think of them sitting down doing an audit and producing a report, kind of like the current approach to FSMA. What exactly would the IG role look like under this continuous approach?
Right. The current FSMA evaluation model relies on an annual check. And so your assertion is correct that their role would change, and something, you know, in the future, in an ideal state, we would like to see it similar to continuous monitoring or continuous evaluation, right? So that it is a real time. We know that the threat is changing, that the environment is dynamic, not static. And so a one-time per year evaluation will not produce information that's useful to a CIO, to a chief security agent officer in order to make meaningful improvements. Instead, with technology and with new processes, that evaluation should occur on a real-time basis to identify those vulnerabilities, share the information with the CIO, so then the vulnerabilities can be addressed. Again, that's an area for an investment. It could be an area for reallocating personnel or using some of the software tools in the cybersecurity world that are available.
As far as authorities, I think it varies pretty substantially agency to agency how much authority a given CIO has. Is that a barrier to implementing some of the things that you're trying to do? I mean, in VA, it would probably be relatively easy if they just wanted to take everything you're saying wholesale. Not so much in every other agency, though, right?
Right. It is certainly something that we discussed in developing the paper and in our discussions with the NAPA panel. Particularly, you know, if you look at a decentralized CIO model versus a centralized CIO model, like you said, like at VA, and you know what Roger Baker has overseen for the last 4 years, there is some nuance there, right, in terms of direct budget authority. But ultimately, the CIO, up to the deputy secretary, up to the secretary in terms of their management controls and responsibilities, have authority, and the ultimate buck stops here in terms of the cybersecurity risk and the profile for that agency.
Obviously, DHS right now is working on the continuous diagnostic and mitigation program that they're rolling out across .gov later this year. To what extent does that address what you're talking about in this paper as far as laying those foundations for eventually getting to a risk mitigation plan?
Yeah. The two are very aligned, and intentionally so. We met with the folks at DHS to make sure that that foundation and all of the good work that they've already done was reflected here in the paper. That continuous diagnostic and monitoring is a very important process, data that can be shared with an IG. It could also be an input to a cyber risk indicator when we think about the different types of measures that would then be aggregated to form an index.
So what does this cyber risk indicator look like for a given agency once it's developed? What does it tell you about your agency?
Yeah. So, you know, we have put forth a conceptual understanding of it. Certainly there's a lot of work to be done both by experts inside government and out to flesh that out in a more detailed manner. The indicator will be one way to signal the health of an organization, the cyber health of an organization, meaning the capabilities, the processes, the way they can identify and mitigate those threats and vulnerabilities in a timely manner, the state of their workforce and their skill sets and any upskilling or human capital investment that is needed. So it's intended to be a comprehensive way to understand the health of the cyber security within an organization.
So your report builds, I think, on a lot of what agencies have already done. And one of those capabilities that's out there is FedRAMP. Explain what you think FedRAMP could be expanded, or how FedRAMP could be leveraged, rather, to help this process along.
Yes. So, you know, FedRAMP, really the first of its kind in this type of program that's certified outside providers that would conduct on behalf of the government a very stringent set of tests. We identified that is a leading practice that could be built upon, and because of the specialized skill sets, human capital, and even organizational capabilities that are in place now because of the investment that GSA has made and the training that has been done there, that IGs could have that resource and tap into those third-party providers to help them conduct, or to do it for them, the FISMA compliance evaluation, much like an IG outsources its financial audit to one of the big accounting firms. So following a similar model, but instead of an accounting firm, in this case it would be a third-party provider that has already been blessed, so to speak, by GSA.